So great. Hey, when I heard, when Steve was reading about that grass, I was just thinking about mowing. You know, I've only mowed in like once or twice for like 2 months. So, it's just wonderful for me anyways. I mean, I like mowing the grass, but it's kind of boring, following that thing around. I have one of those mowers that's self-propelled, so I just have to just kind of walk behind it. Why don't they just get the robot, and just start, what's wrong? I'm sure they have that already, don't they? Yeah. Probably already do. So what's with me? I got to get with it, I guess. Great to have you this morning. Last week we were talking about, God's word. When it is written, it is a serious matter because it is written, and whatever is written, so shall it be done. And he's calling us to be those obedient children, to follow him and to be holy as he is holy. And that's a tough thing, but when we remember that we can't make ourselves holy, that all comes from God's grace to us through his son, then we kind of go, all right, well, now we have a chance that to be holy because we have a Savior who really loves us, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so today we continue on. I was thinking, when I was reading this passage, and I was going, outsiders were kind of coming into mind. I listened to Alistair Begg, and he was talking about this passage as well, and he said, he came up with the words, resident aliens. And that's really kind of like what we are. Now, outsiders, have you ever been on the outside of something? Like, when you have some friends and they're kind of, and you're going, what are you talking about? You kind of feel left out, or you move to another area, another state, another school, another job, another country, and you feel kind of out of it, don't you? You're kind of, oh, man, like when we're in Thailand, and especially at first, we couldn't even speak Thai, and we look so different from them, too. we wanted to be brown like them, and they wanted to be white like us. So, we're kind of, what's going on? Maybe we can meet in between. But, talking with them and getting the culture of it was very difficult. And we were left there going, man, I wish I could talk to these guys. I feel so out, feeling like an outsider. You just can't tell them how you feel, how you want to encourage them and stuff. So when I think about outsiders, I'm going, man, it's, a lot of times you want to get on the inside. But sometimes that's not so good either. Because sometimes the inside really isn't the best. And we'll look a little bit more about that today as well. And I was thinking about Jesus. He came and he was an outsider. Even though he loved the people around him with so much compassion and power and authority and kindness, and his patience is, so wonderful, but yet he was still an outsider because he was from another place. He was from heaven. Heaven's son being sent down to earth to walk amongst us, which is a miracle in itself. And as we see in the word here, this was planned from long ago. Before the even creation started, God is from eternity past. So there is no beginning with him. So, the plans and all this was already knew. And Jesus says, I'll go, Dad. I'll go for you. And so this plan was from long ago until when at the perfect time, the Father sent his Son to earth. It's powerful. And wonderful. So we're going to be looking a little bit more about being outsiders. What does it mean to be an outsider? And if we're an outsider, then what should we do with it? How should we be? So we'll be looking at that today together. Let's pray before we continue on. Lord God, we praise you for your grace and mercy. Lord, for it is by your mercy, your great mercy, that we have been born anew, given a new birth into a living hope. And that is through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that comes a great inheritance, an inheritance that does not ever perish or spoil or fade. It is always ours and for eternity. And Lord, as we gather together today to hear your word, may your name be glorified. May your spirit move and speak to our hearts. Give me words, Father, that will be true and accurate from your word. And Lord, we just praise you that we can come before you at the feet of Jesus to hear your voice. Bless this time, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The making of an outsider. You know, have you ever built blocks, built models, had Legos and things like that? You know, you just a little bit at a time. Sometimes you have instructions and things like that that kind of guide you. And of course, a lot of us guys go, instructions, let's just put this thing together. Oh, Dave, I caught you. You know, there. Yeah, more than once. Yeah, I did that. Usually it doesn't end up very well. Usually what happens, if I start going, I'm going, this is looking good, and then all of a sudden something's not fitting right. I'm going, oh! Then I get a little angry. And I should look in the mirror. That's who you should be angry at. Dumbo. There's instructions right there. So building blocks, you know, what does this mean, though, for outsiders? How do you make an outsider? And who wants to be an outsider? Well, let's look at this a little bit closer. First of all, you know, when you look at the word here, and it comes down to talking about, since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. So as foreigners, the making of an outsider, you're a foreigner. See, when you go to another country or something like that, you got to get a passport, even to Canada now, right? You have to get a passport. And you have your picture and all that information there, but you are different. Wherever you go, you're different. All right? So you're just not the citizenship. You're not a citizen of that country. And so what God has done, you know, when he moved and by his grace, he spoke to our hearts and our hearts opened, and in that he chose us. You know, he chose us specifically to be a part of his family by his grace, by his mercy, not by anything we have done, not that we deserved any of this. It is just by his grace in our lives choosing us to be a part of this new kingdom, this new citizen. Not of this world. We live in this world, but we are not to be of it any longer. We are chosen out. You know, just like those being chosen to be a Dallas Cowboy. You know, hallelujah. You know, some people might not want to be. I don't know why. But it's a special privilege. Why are these smirks? I'm going to have changed this. If Barry's here, I could have talked about the Dodgers, but Barry's not here, so... Dodgers are doing pretty good. So not only chosen, but we're sanctified. We are changed right then and there. When we find out that we were a part of this world. We were insiders in this world. We were following the things of this world. And who's the ruler of this world? Satan. You know, he's out to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's going to deceive us and cause us to feel all comfortable. Things are just fine. I'm doing good here. I'm good enough. I'm a good guy. I'm a good girl. All this stuff, you know, he's going to just do all this stuff. Oh, yeah, follow these rituals, these rules. You're going to be fine. These philosophies, these books are good for you. Go to school, get education. Oh, yeah, you're doing good. Oh, look at all the money you got. All that stuff. Look how good. Oh, yeah, you just steal a little money here. You just cheat a little there. You just kind of tell a little lie here. Oh, who cares? That's how I get ahead. That's how I live. That all stops when you come in face to face like Peter on the boat with Jesus. It all stops right then and there when he recognizes, oh, man, you're holy. You're God. Get away from me. I am a sinner. If you have never said that to God, and you want to be a follower of Christ, you have to come to that point where you know you have sinned. And you have to actually feel sorry for that. Not like, oh, it was not a big deal. Didn't mean anything. Yes, it did. And so when you recognize that sin, you need to confess it with a true heart to him and a forgiveness, and ask for forgiveness, and the forgiveness will be given. And the sanctifying process just starts and moves and transforms your life as God enters by the power of his Spirit and moves you. And there's more things to that, but that's for a future thing. Chosen, sanctified, cleansed by the blood of Christ. That's only, if we want to be holy, we have to go through Christ. Be cleansed by his blood, the one who went to the cross for us. The outsider for all the insiders. But what he was doing is calling those insiders out. Out into his a new kingdom, right? A new citizenship. Hand-me-downs, you know hand-me-downs. Who's ever had hand-me-downs? Come on. Don't be shy. I still have my hand risen up. I had two older brothers. The problem was, back then, the holy jeans was kind of in the fad. So my brother, you know, would give me holy jeans. And he'd go, man, these things are all tattered. I don't want these. Don't give me these things. You know, I'll take your shirt, you know, or something like that. You know, but I don't think I want those jeans, especially where I know where you've been. Even if you wash it a few times, it just doesn't do it. So hand-me-downs, right? And so as you go further down here, he says here, if I get this out, we're supposed to be living in reverent fear. Okay. Oops, you know what? Did I skip something? I might have skipped something. No, I didn't. Maybe I had that somewhere else. Nope, maybe I forgot that slide. But reverent fear mainly comes down to that point where you understand that God knows you. He knows everything about you, no matter how you try to hide your heart from him, or your thoughts, or your actions. He's the one that searches our hearts, our minds. He's the one that we're held accountable to. He's the one that, you know, who, praise the Lord, he's good. And he's fair. He's impartial. But we have to fear him, just like it says there in Proverbs, you know, about, you know, coming up, you know, with that, you know, the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So learning to fear him, to revere him, not in terror, but in that going, wow, you are God. You're awesome. And I need to come before you and treat you with respect for who you are. And then as we go further on here, since you call on, I'm going the wrong way here. This Bible's different from my other Bible, but I like the big print, so I sometimes get messed up a little bit here. It says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. Now, I don't know about you. Now, my family line, there's some Christians, you know, kind of my dad and grandpa, but I'm not sure beyond that and stuff like that. Now, other people don't have that. They don't have that heritage. They don't have those ancestors that pass down the word of God. They don't pass down the blessings of Christ. They don't speak into their lives through prayer and blessings and talking about who God is. What they do is they talk about, hey, be a good guy. You know, try your best. Do your best you can. You're going to be okay. Or you are a stinking person and you don't even deserve to be alive. Or, hey, this is the way I've done things all my life, and look how good I'm doing. Yeah, you can pull money out of here. There are some rituals you can do there. There are some traditions you can follow there. There are some rules we got here. You're doing okay. They just pass that down from generation, generation, generation. But what it is, it's just emptiness. Because really, it doesn't go anywhere. It stops when your heart stops. All that stuff that you gathered, if you gathered anything at all, is done. It's temporary. And God's saying, no. Don't let yourselves be captive. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which are all over this world, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. And I know some of us come from a tougher background than others, all right? Joy came from a very godly line of ancestors from generation, 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 from Prussia. But some of us haven't. Some of us, we're the first generation in Christ. And God's, by his grace and mercy, pulled us out of there. Pulled us out of that emptiness. Redeemed us, right? There's a redeeming going on there. Redeeming us by the blood of Christ. You know what redeeming is? A lot of times I think about the days when I was a young guy and we'd have Coke bottles or whatever, and they're, you know, actual glass, and we'd go back to the place where we bought it from, and they would give us money for those bottles. They redeemed the bottles. See, we were redeemed by Christ. When he went to the cross and died for us, he died in our place. He died in my place. I was supposed to die for my own sins. I sinned. I broke the rules. I broke the law. I deserve death. But Jesus is saying, no. No. I'm going to step in your place because I can. Because I have a special relationship with the judge. I'm going to pay your price with my life. A high price, a price that we can't really measure, truthfully. It's at a great price that he died for us. It says, with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, which, speaking to the Jews and people back then, they understood the sacrifices. Sacrifice to a holy God had to be lambs or whatever they're going to be sacrificing that were without blemish or defect. And that's what Christ was. He had no sin in his life. So that's why he was able to die for everybody in all of history of mankind. Didn't matter who you are, didn't matter where you're from, didn't matter how sinful you are or were. He did it for all, once and for all, for each person. That's an amazing sacrifice. Amazing. Making us outsiders. We're not inside anymore in this world. He's taken us outside and bringing us into his glorious light that we can live a different way. Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, Christ himself. It's powerful. Powerful thing that he did for us. I'm not going to read. I put that Colossians. You can read Colossians. It's a whole focus there. You know, our minds, you know, since we are with Christ, you know, we set our minds, our hearts on the things above. Now, being redeemed. Now we're looking, you know, we're our lives are now in Christ. So when he comes, when he appears in his glory, we're going to appear with him in glory. That's our citizenship. It's wonderful. Born again. Ooh, look at that little guy. happy, yeah, born again by the word of God. Here, if you keep on skipping down a little bit further, here it says, I think, 23, verse 23, it says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." We have been born again by God's spoken word through Christ, who is the word of life, right? Through his words that he were spoken and written down. We have to hear that message, right? To hear that good news message, to be born again. Born again, not as a little baby, but born again as a spiritual baby, right? Just something changing here, making us outsiders of this world, being born again by his word. It is what? It is written. That's why we have this. It is written. We have it right here. So we're born again to live a new life. Not what they describe here, a grass life. Who wants a grass life? You come to my lawn, especially in July. You see some good grass life there. It's all stickly. You walk on it with your bare feet. You feel like you're getting stabbed by needles. Okay? You know, I should have taken a blowtorch. Then I wouldn't have had to deal with the lawn anymore. Shoot, I should have thought about that. Phooey. That's the way it look. That grass life is blowing away in the wind, guys. Oh, we might think we're all that and all things are all going good and we're all flowers and looking pretty sharp and all that stuff. But you know what? When it comes down to it, there's a day it's drying up and it's getting blown away. Unless you're reborn again by this word of God. Unless you have this word speaking to you, transforming your life. A word that endures forever. So, what does an outsider do and why? What does it look like, you know? So, you know, really, you're a regular person. You know, you're in this world. You're a human being. But you got something more. Some people call it, you got the tiger in the tank. You got something inside here. It's powerful. It's powerful. And what are we supposed to do with all this? Well, first of all, when you go back to that first part of this passage, we call upon the name of the Lord. He's our Father. He's good. He's just. He's impartial. So we know that he cares for us. He cares for every detail of our lives. So we can call upon him at all times. That's what an outsider's walk looks like. Somebody who says, "Lord, I need your help." Or, "Praise you, Father, it is such a beautiful day." Or, "Thank you for taking care of my family. Thank you for healing my friend." Calling upon the name of the Lord is one thing that outsiders do. Maybe this was what it was. Now, this is one I skipped. It was on our other slide. But we live in reverent fear. Outsiders live with the fear of God. We know that he knows us. And so we go by his word and his wisdom that he teaches us. We're accountable. He doesn't want us to live these sloppy lives. If you want to look a little bit more about Hebrews 12, it's talking about, you know, he treats us like sons and daughters. You know, when we're going astray, he disciplines us. You know, he doesn't kick us out and say, "Get out of here, I don't want you back." He says, "Come. Let me teach you again." And some people go, "Oh, but it's so hard to learn it again." It's like he's punishing me, but he's really just disciplining it out of love because he loves us as children, he says. That passage says he loves us as his children. If we are not being disciplined, ooh, there's an issue there. Maybe we aren't his children. Maybe we're still going on our own way. Oh, but I go to church, I raise my hand, Jesus, I love you. But if you haven't had the discipline going on in your life, then maybe you're not an outsider. Maybe you're not one of his own. Maybe you haven't come to face-to-face with your own sin before a holy God yet. Something to think about. And then he gives us this, you know, as we go further on in that, he says, well, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, and that's another thing we do. Outsiders obey the truth. They obey the word of God. It is written. So we follow it like a GPS. Like when we were going to Canada that one time and we're going to go through Michigan, I needed a GPS because we're going on some little roads there in the country in the upper Michigan. You know, there's bears running across the road and whatever else, you know. So it's just, you know, we needed that GPS. And I tell you, where were my eyes? We're a little bit on the road, but it was on that GPS. Oh, take a turn, where? Right here. You know, so you really had to follow. I had that GPS. Well, this is a GPS for outsiders, followers of Christ. Get in it. Know it. The other night, we had a game and a Friday night for the adults for our life group. It was, you know, and we did this Wednesday night, too, about know your Bible stories. You guys got to get it back in your Bible, man. Though I have to admit, I was stumped on a couple of them too. But it was a good challenge. But it teaches, you know, hey, if you word it a little bit differently, can I catch it? What are you saying? You know, can you connect to that story, what God is saying, what he taught? You know, sometimes, you know, we need to just being in it constantly. That, you know, it's a continuous thing. It's not, oh, I'll do it once in a while. And so, but it's a continuous thing for our lives. So love one another deeply, as we go further on here, it says, so that you have sincere love for each other. Love one another deeply from the heart. And I was going, wow, that's a whole nother sermon or three or four as it is. Loving one another deeply. It's not just affectionate love, saying, hey, buddy, how you doing? I'm doing all right and stuff like that. No, this is something more. This is a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's an outsider. See, this love is a love that it's a sacrificial love. It's a love when you're starting to put other people in front of yourself. No, this is the way I want to do it. But they're saying, but you're looking and they're going, ah. Okay, we'll go your way. And just as it's following, you know, God's word, you know, submit. Love your enemies. You know, those guys who are rejecting the word or people are just poo-pooing you or whatever else, you know. Love your enemies. And then even that deep, deep love, sometimes you have to give up your own life. Some people have actually done that for others. Given up their own life for others so they can continue on. That deep, deep love is a powerful love that can only be moved in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not us. If you think you can do this on your own, you're just going to hit the affectionate love. This is spirit-driven. This is word of God-driven. This is a whole thing that changes us, that allows me, somebody who loves myself, who's thinking about myself all the time, who has that agenda for the best that I can do for myself, comfort and all that stuff, looking after my own good. And to shake me out of that takes something more powerful than any of my will can do. So you know, when you're starting to love others deeply, You know something's going on in your heart. You know you're an outsider in this world. You have a different citizenship. Something's stirring you. Something's freeing you from the old ways, the old thoughts, old traditions, science and facts. God is the greatest scientist of all. Without his creation, we have nothing. It's an awesome God who loved us so deeply that he died for us. And he went, if you looked at his death, that one time we watched that movie, Randy had us watch that movie. He forced us to watch that movie on Easter, you know, watching Christ, being just destroyed, being whipped and thorns and trying to carry this heavy cross and, being nailed on the cross and all that. He did that for us. That deep, deep love that put himself aside for me? I wouldn't have done it. I tell you something, I would not have done it. But he did it. And now he gives us the power to do it as we yield to him in our lives. So outside influence. So now, okay, we know what it is, how to become an outsider, and a little bit more about, what an outsider is, what it looks like more. Now, influence. See, it all comes down to that passage we read at the beginning today in that call worship there in Colossians. See, he rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of the Son he loves. See, the outsider's taken the insiders and he's pulling them out of there. And he's saying, you do the same. Go. First of all, have that outside influence. Have you noticed here? What do you notice something here? What do you notice? What's this? It's a name. Of who? Of this guy. This guy is probably a pretty good golfer himself, but this guy's a pro. He wears his name on his back. See, to be an outsider, to be an influencer, as we're learning in the youth connection, we have to reflect the image of Christ to others. We have to put his name on our back and front all around us. And walk in it, reflecting his image. Just like Jesus reflected the Father's image perfectly, we are to do the same. Now, we might not do it perfectly. In fact, not might. We don't. But we are still to do as we can. And as the Lord moves us and changes us. But we are to reflect. We're not ourselves anymore. Until we take that off. We're Schefflers. So what does it look like? Well, first of all, of course, I'm going to pound it into you. If you're not in the Word, be in the Word daily. Daily. Make the time, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. You might go beyond what you even expect. You should be in the Word, and I'm talking the whole Word. Don't just stay in the New Testament. Go to the Old Testament because it's all one. It's speaking together. It's all written by one God, one Spirit. So what they're saying in the Old Testament is being said in the New. And a lot of times in the New Testament, so you have to go back to the Old Testament because they're referring to it. So read it. Eat it like food, like your daily bread, right? They have that little booklet out there called The Daily Bread. There's a reason. If you're not saturated with the Word, how are you going to be able to reflect His image? How are you going to influence others? Oops, sorry. Went the other way. Spirit, because we know it's the work of God, His Word and the Spirit, the relationship through prayer and just the prayer part. A lot of people, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray or something. all this is talking to God. You don't have to fall on your knees all the time, though there might be times you do that. Sometimes it's driving a car and you're just praying. Sometimes it's walking down the road praying. Sometimes you're in your classroom, you're praying. You know, wherever you are, you just talk, open your heart and hear. It's a relationship. It's a two-way thing. Listen, talk, follow, really. Oops, I did it again. I keep on thinking there's another one. Inviting others, like I said, I keep on saying, invite. Remember, in our life groups, one of our motions is, you know, at the end, we're saying, invite. Invite others. Invite others to Christ. You know, invite them. Invite them, not to me, because I have nothing to offer you much. I mean, I can give you this. I can talk to you about Jesus and, you know, they have to come before Jesus and hear his voice through a life group, through, you know, a worship service, through, you know, other ways as well. But the fellowship is sweet. You know, you need the body of Christ around you to continue to encourage you in your walk so you can really invite others and keep on inviting, so just more and more people growing in the grace and knowledge of God. And love one another deeply. Love one another deeply. So deeply that they see your life. They know that you have been pulled out of the darkness. That you used to be an outsider. Or really an insider who became an outsider. And now you're calling them out. You're saying, come on, buddy. Come on. Come on. Come join me. Come on the outside. Come on the outside. This is where it's at. This is where everything comes together. It's perfect and it's eternal and it doesn't fall away and it's true. Let's pray. Lord God, praise you for your word. Thank you that it's okay to be outsiders. In fact, it's what you want us to be. Outsiders who reflect you. Out of love. Out of love for you. Out of love for those around us. So I pray, Father, that you will just continue to guide us and teach us and change us anew. That you'll remind us of these things as we walk in this the next days of our lives, Lord. That we'll remember that, you know, if we are really following you, we are outsiders, and if we are really doing that, we are reflectors of who you are. So help us do that. Lord, if we have not yet received you, if we have not yet come to that terms to where I am a sinner and I need you, Jesus, forgive me my sins, may it be just a simple prayer from your heart to the Father's heart. Through Jesus, confessing sins, asking for forgiveness, and know that the forgiveness is there of the one who loves us so deeply. And Father, guide us, transform us, and show us a way that we can invite others who are still on the inside and they need to get out. Praise you. Give you the honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen. Amen.